It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Question. Are our skies being sprayed with climate engineering elements that are part of what is scientifically known as solar radiation management and stratospheric aerosol injection? Please listen carefully to the 60-second statement by a former U.S. Air Force Brigadier General. Here it is.
For larger planes, the Air Force has perfected spray equipment. This B-17 has several spraying nozzles and carries the tank in the bomb bay.
I'm Charles Jones, Brigadier General, U.S. Air Force, retired. In the years 1953 through 1962, I was stationed in Germany. Then we moved to England in 1959 when I was assigned to the 42nd Tactical Reconnaissance Squadron with dual missions of electronic countermeasures and weather reconnaissance. We also had the responsibility of reporting jet engine contrails throughout our area of responsibility in Europe, North Africa, the Mediterranean, and Eastern Atlantic. We were responsible for pinpointing the exact altitudes of all jet engine contrails noted within the flying area of responsibility in both the weather and ECM aircraft missions. We became experts on jet engine aircraft contrails and all of their characteristics. Much different from the white aircraft spray trails that consist of scientifically verifiable strain of aluminum particles and other toxic heavy metals, polymers, and chemical components. These are the long white spray trails that linger and slowly expand into light cloud cover that soon cover entire areas with an overcast, very light cloud cover. We're never going to get to the bottom of climate change until everything is laid on the table about geoengineering and the disasters that it can and is causing.
Again, for the record, the testimony you just heard was from U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Charles Jones. You can see the entire video of that statement along with another U.S. Air Force general and many other experts, including the former Canadian Minister of Defense, former U.S. government scientist, and so on, in the geoengineeringwatch.org groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, available for free on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. A wave of climate engineering awareness is building, and not a moment too soon. The threat posed by what is occurring in our skies cannot be overstated. Courageous Tennessee legislators, along with exceptionally on-track testimony from professionals like Dr. Denise Sibley, have propelled this extremely important effort past its second hurdle. On Tuesday of this week, the Tennessee bill to ban any geoengineering operations in the skies above Tennessee passed the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. Next step, a scheduled vote in the House. That date has not yet been set. In the meantime, Matrix Media is desperately doing damage control, forced to cover this very important breaking story in Tennessee, but by design using the non-science chemtrails term when doing so. As I stated in last week's broadcast, this is their attempt to marginalize this gravely important issue. Also, not surprisingly, some internet self-proclaimed truth tellers are now also aggressively doing their best to deny climate engineering, claiming it's just jet exhaust. As always, I leave it to the listener to decide who's telling the truth and who isn't. But please stay with me on this broadcast to hear a mountain of damning data from an 800-plus page U.S. Senate document before you make up your mind. I'll get to that document in a moment. How many have taken the time to notice that our formerly deep blue skies are now all but gone? Even in media, TV commercials, everywhere you would expect them to go to extra effort to find a blue sky, they can't seem to do it, can they? Again, Matrix Media systematically avoided the science terms, which were the only terms ever mentioned in the Tennessee bill or by the promoters of it. Geoengineering, climate engineering, stratospheric aerosol injection, cloud albedo enhancement. The science terms bring credibility to this issue. Exactly what Matrix Media, the climate engineers, the controllers, and the debunkers don't want. For those unfamiliar with these science terms and what they refer to, they're all forms of climate intervention operations increasingly being pushed by the so-called climate science community as a last chance option to cool the planet. Question: how's that going so far? The so-called experts never bother to address the total planetary contamination that comes with climate engineering. What a surprise. And then there's that destruction of the ozone layer on which all of our lives depend. The specific foundational factor for said operations, as described by the science community and the geoengineers, is jet aircraft spraying light scattering, sky whitening nanoparticles into Earth's lower atmosphere. And as I mentioned a moment ago, all the nanoparticle elements named in climate engineering patents are toxic. And what's showing up in precipitation tests all over the world? You guessed it. The same types of toxic elements that match climate engineering patents: aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, surfactants, graphene. The list goes on. On that note, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration gets dire warning about solar geoengineering. That's from enenews.com and other sources. That doesn't sound good, does it? Let's add to this equation. Listen carefully. This is an extremely important statement from one of the most monstrous individuals to ever walk among us. Former U.S. presidential advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, quote, "Technology will make available to the leaders of major nations techniques for conducting secret warfare, of which only a bare minimum of the security forces need be appraised. Techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm," end quote. Again, from Zbigniew Brzezinski. And for those that are not aware of exactly who Brzezinski is, again, he is a former advisor to U.S. presidents and the author of The Grand Chessboard: American Primacy and Its Geostrategic Imperatives. Here's an excerpt from the Amazon.com review of Brzezinski's book. "Central to his analysis is the exercise of power on the Eurasian landmass, which is home to the greatest part of the globe's population, natural resources, and economic activity. Stretching from Portugal to the Bering Strait, from Lapland to Malaysia, Eurasia is the grand chessboard on which America's supremacy will be ratified and challenged in the years to come. The task facing the United States," Brzezinski argues, "is to manage the conflicts and relationships in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East so that no rival superpower arises to threaten our interests or our well-being, aka empire." Brzezinski served as an advisor to President Lyndon Baines Johnson, who stated on film and on the record, quote, "He who controls the weather controls the world." And for those that are new to this broadcast, you can see it on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent and top stories section. The first 30 seconds is film footage of former President Lyndon Baines Johnson stating exactly this very fanatically on film and on the record. But it gets worse. Brzezinski also said the following, quote, "In early times, it was easier to control a million people than to kill a million people." He continues, "Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million." In fact, listen carefully to Brzezinski stating this in his own words. Here it is.
"Namely, that we're living at a time of a basic shift away from the 500 years long global domination by the Atlantic powers. It is the countries that have been located on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean, and let us recall them: Portugal, Spain, France, the Netherlands, Great Britain, more recently the United States, that have dominated world affairs. And that shift now is taking us towards Asia. It is not the end of the preeminence of the Atlantic world, but it is now the surfacing of the Pacific region, and most notably Japan, the number two economic power, and China, a putative global power, that are now occupying a preeminent place in the global hierarchy. And of course, beyond them, there is the question of India's future development, though it is currently still in the wings. And it is also complicated by the reappearance of Russia, which is something to be welcomed, but a Russia which is still restless, rather unclear about its own definition, very ambivalent about its recent past, and very insecure about its place in the world. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control. And of course, that bears directly on the use of force, particularly by societies that are culturally alien over other societies.
Chilling words from the mouth of the now deceased Zbigniew Brzezinski. Today, it is infinitely easier, he said, to kill a million people than to control them. Put that puzzle piece into the picture wherever you feel it fits. And indeed, it does belong. Let all that sink in. That is the core of the cancer that controls the world. More puzzle pieces. Businessinsider.com. China is massively expanding its weather modification program, saying it will be able to cover half the country in artificial rain and snow by 2025. That's a reminder of that report. It is absolutely a necessary puzzle piece. The report says China is massively expanding its weather control project and is aiming to be able to cover half the country in artificial rain and snow by 2025, the government said. The BusinessInsider.com report then states the practice of cloud seeding was discovered in the U.S. in 1946 by a chemist working for General Electric. That's not completely true. It existed long before then, but let's go with their report. China launched its own similar program in the 1960s. The project will be at a worldwide advanced level by 2035, they say. The State Council will help alleviate disasters such as drought and hail. And as I get to, hopefully later in this report, if I have enough time, the now estimated 20 million animals and livestock expected to perish in Mongolia from chemical ice nucleation for weather modification programs, many millions already dead. That's what's happening around the world that we hear nothing about here while we're showing nonstop political theater from dawn till dusk and all night long. And from the Defense Technical Information Center, this, weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather by 2025. That 2025 date seems to match very well, doesn't, from China and the U.S. Is there cooperation going on? Absolutely. Wait a few moments and you'll hear shocking data from a U.S. congressional document. But from this report, again from the Defense Technical Information Center, in 2025, U.S. aerospace forces can own the weather by capitalizing on emerging technologies. But there's always that program knee-jerk reaction, isn't there? The conspiracy theory term. Those that so easily throw this term around are finally being increasingly seen for what they are. Fearful, factless, lazy, refusing to actually investigate anything and everything they don't want to believe is true in the first place. Next, again, some of the most important data ever covered on this broadcast. Stay tuned. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the weekly installment of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Report, the End of the World as We Know It broadcast, brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of global climate engineering operations, a.k.a. weather warfare. Reaching a critical mass is the only way forward in this fight. We must reach this critical mass by starting a conversation on the climate engineering issue that leads people to a credible source of data. Geoengineeringwatch.org will continue all of our efforts to be the go-to source on covert climate engineering operations. If we can fully expose weather warfare, so many other truths will be forced to the full light of day with it. Under the following title, on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, massive U.S. Senate document on national and global weather modification. You can examine the entire document from the link just stated. Let's dive in. And while going through this mountain of damning excerpts from the Senate document, how much more massive have the climate intervention programs become in the last 46 years since this document was drafted? Look up, and there's your answer. Title of the U.S. Senate document, Federal Activities in Weather Modification. This U.S. Senate document, again from 1978, makes reference to an earlier presidential briefing document from 1966. That's from ICAS. That's the Interdepartmental Committee on Atmospheric Sciences, and that's also posted at geoengineeringwatch.org. The following are direct word-for-word excerpts from the 800-page U.S. Senate document. The federal government has been involved for over 30 years, again that's from 1978, in a number of aspects of weather modification through activities of both the Congress and the executive branch. Since 1947, weather modification bills pertaining to research support operations and policy studies, regulations, liabilities, activities, reporting, establishment of panels and committees, and international concerns. Some international operations have been used or are perceived to have been used as a weapon of war to impede the mobility or tactical readiness of an enemy. The modern period in weather modification is about 3 decades old, dating from events in 1946. By the 1950s, many experimental operational weather modification projects were underway. Exactly as geoengineeringwatch.org has always stated on the record, major climate intervention operations were deployed immediately after World War II, but testing was being carried out during World War II. Film footage seen in the Dimming documentary absolutely conclusively proves this. Archival footage, please view the Dimming, decide for yourself. Let's keep going. Identifiable federal research and operational weather modification programs can be traced from at least the period of World War II. However, this Senate document states, the research programs of most agencies other than the Defense Department were not begun until the 1950s and 1960s. Page 316 from the U.S. Senate document. There is a need to assess more fully the socio-economic implications of weather modification experimentation and all agencies engaged in weather modification. Attempts should give attention to the social implications. Let's stop there. Social implications, like off-the-charts flash droughts, firestorms, deluges, flash freezes, chemically ice-nucleated extreme hail, winter weather snowstorms that are chemically nucleated as well, sometimes falling at temperatures far above freezing because the patents state clearly that's what their elements can do. Decimated agriculture, that kind of so-called social implication. Pressing on, about the legal liabilities for all that destruction I just described. Just grant total immunity to anyone and everyone involved, and that's exactly what they have done. Listen carefully. With regard to the legal system, the Commission recommended that the federal government be empowered by appropriate legislation to delay or halt all activities, public or private, in actual or potential conflict with weather and climate modification programs of the federal government. Immunize federal agents, grantees, and contractors engaged in weather and climate modification activities from state and local government interference, and provide to federal grantees and contractors indemnification or other protection against liability to the public for damages caused by federal programs of weather and climate modification. Sometimes disastrous events have occurred during or soon after cloud seeding. Stop. There you have it. Blanket legal immunity for what amounts to weather warfare being waged not just on foreign countries, like Project Popeye in Vietnam, but also right here in the USA against our own citizens. More from the U.S. Senate historical document. Defense Department aircraft work all weather patterns in the mid-Atlantic states. There are as many as 160 flights in a 24-hour period. These aircraft disperse ice nuclei at almost infinity concentrations and inject it into the atmosphere starting 24 to 48 hours before weather patterns move into the area. How many have taken note of that? That when there's an incoming front, the aerosol dispersions are radically increased, exactly as described in this U.S. Senate document. Nothing has changed. It's just gotten ramped up to a far more massive level. Now, this excerpt from the historical U.S. Senate document: Pennsylvania has earned a reputation of lawlessness relative to cloud seeding. The past two secretaries of agriculture have both stymied all efforts to regulate weather modification. The Pennsylvania State University has engaged in blackmail activities against those who want the law enforced, have conducted research in contempt of the law, and lied about the outcome of their results of cloud seeding. These various agencies have all helped to obstruct law enforcement in the state of Pennsylvania. Department of Agriculture, Bureau of Aviation, Federal Aviation Agency, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Pennsylvania State University, and all branches of the federal government who have or are doing cloud seeding work. A meteorological Watergate, end quote. A meteorological Watergate. Words straight from the U.S. Senate document. Not my words, theirs. Imagine that. Let's continue with this. Straight from the report. Quote, there's no question that during a dry season, cloud seeding aggravates conditions to produce drought, and during a wet cycle, it triggers even more rain and probably floods. Stop there. This is total corroboration for what geoengineeringwatch.org has stated on the record for a decade and a half. Drought deluge scenarios are the hallmark of climate intervention operations. Moving on from page 402, the following is word for word from the U.S. Senate report. Listen carefully. It is truly shocking. Here it is. In a recent article contributed to the Tri-State Natural Weather Association, to a nationally circulated publication devoted to organic agriculture, the following evils supposedly brought on by weather modification were cataloged. 1. Cloud seeding has been responsible for the great five-year drought in the Northeast United States. 2. Isolated sections of the Northeast have experienced 18 years of drought due to cloud seeding. 3. Weather disturbances in the South Atlantic have been eliminated and has thus reduced the East Coast rainfall by 30% that is needed if agriculture is to be successful. 4. The average dairy farmer on the East Coast living in an area of cloud seeding has averaged a net financial loss because of cloud seeding. 5. Crop production losses in Franklin County, Pennsylvania alone amounted to $50 million even then. 6. When effects of seeding wear off, cloud bursts occur, causing floods, destroying crops, buildings, and drowning people as well as livestock. 7. Seeding has been responsible for the serious air pollution problems. 9. Poisoning of all living matter is directly related to cloud seeding. 10. Emphysema is 3 times higher in areas of heavy cloud seeding. 11. Cancer is virulently out of proportion. 12. Financial losses to agriculture and related industries run into the billions. 13. Forest trees as well as cultivated orchards are dying from chemical reactions taking place in the air due to the addition of cloud seeding agents. 14. The atmosphere has been rendered completely biologically incompatible with all matter, which includes animals, plants, and humans. Let's stop there to deeply consider all that I just covered from this U.S. Senate document. Please go to the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org and examine it for yourself. It's all there, all 800 plus pages. And consider, if all this was being reported that long ago, how much worse is it now? Take a good look around for your answer. And please, please do objective investigation. And investigation means so much more than listening to one person that says one thing and a different source that says another. Actually investigate. Read documents for yourself. Examine film footage and photos for yourself. View video statements from individuals like former U.S. Air Force generals and the former Canadian Minister of Defense, former government scientists, all on film and on the record in the groundbreaking Geoengineering Watch documentary, The Dimming, which can be viewed for free from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Moving on, page 439, about the spray whatever they want because the controllers have made sure there are no laws to stop them, circus of insanity taking place in our skies. Here it is from the U.S. Congressional Report. The U.S. amendment appears to provide a loophole where any country could conduct covert military weather modification operations without any form of international control or responsibility, which, for the record, is still exactly the case today. More on that in a moment. From page 485 of the U.S. Senate document, titled Federal Activities in Weather Modification, regarding economic impacts and target areas, The known effects of the target areas are almost uniformly adverse, with the exception of the possible advantages that extra snowfall, particularly at the beginning of the season, might bring to operators of ski resorts and their patrons. Stop and let that one sink in. Admitting that it's all bad, but hey, at least the ski resorts are getting more toxic snow. Welcome to the planetary asylum. Moving on, there's more from this congressional report. Although the impacts on the upland grazing industry appears to be negligible, increased costs of mining operations and timber cutting and possible suspension of activities, interference with road, rail, and air transport, and shortening of the tourist season would all have repercussions of an unfavorable sort on the economies of a number of small towns. Let's stop there. It's just collateral damage for the climate engineers. Nothing to see here. Just move along. Next, Chapter 10. Listen carefully to this one. Colluding and cooperating with those that our own criminal government has always told Americans were the greatest threat we faced, except when it comes to climate engineering, in which case, let's all just hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Here it is. International aspects of weather modification. Weather research and reporting has long been one of the areas having the closest international cooperation. This cooperation transcends ideological differences and hostilities. International cooperation in the exchange of ideas on and methods of weather modification has also been extensive. Wait, there's more. Foreign activities in weather modification. The United States has been the world leader in weather modification research and operations, particularly since World War II. There is also information exchange through contacts with U.S. meteorologists who have visited or have been visited by their foreign counterparts. Weather modification projects have existed at various times in at least 62 nations through the year 1973. How about that one? So many countries marching in lockstep when it comes to climate engineering. And that's exactly what the COP International Climate Conferences have always been about. Business as usual and climate engineering, all from behind closed doors. Geoengineering Watch has always tried to point out this international collusion and cooperation, even between otherwise adversarial nations. It cannot be otherwise because you cannot geoengineer over your own country without affecting the entire world. They absolutely are and have been colluding and cooperating for so many decades. Whatever the surface tensions and conflicts, behind the scenes, what's really going on? And now this extremely unsettling but not surprising closing statement from this chapter of the U.S. Congressional Report. The increased activity in weather modification worldwide has also resulted in perceived or potential damage to the environment both nationally and internationally. Imagine that. There you have it. In a U.S. Senate document, we are destroying the environment at home and abroad. But hey, who cares, right? Just keep populations distracted with materialism and political theater while controlling them with climate engineering and blaming it all on nature. What a gig. And the defense industry making untold billions in the process, not to mention the rest of the disaster capitalists, crop trading derivatives on the stock market, Ponzi scheme, and so much more. Markets at record high again and again and again in spite of an imploding planet and imploding societies. And then there's Monsanto's aluminum-resistant seeds, of course. Yes, in the words of former U.S. President Lyndon Johnson, all the way back in 1962, he who controls the weather controls the world. Now from page 468 of the U.S. Senate document, blowback. Here it is. The major focus on the potential legal problems associated with weather modification activities in the United States has been on the domestic repercussions front. Weather modification programs may have long-range and unexpected effects on existing climatic patterns, which are not confined by national boundaries. Stop there. Ponder that one. What could go wrong? Fill the skies with toxic, light-scattering, weather-disrupting particles, bombard the atmosphere with frequency transmissions to manipulate the particles. What could possibly go wrong with all that? Next, page 470. Different and highly complex legal considerations might be present with any one or combination of such variable factors as the purpose and motivation of the weather modification activity. Was it performed for peaceful or hostile purposes? Was it originated for some public interest or a private interest? Injury or damage in another nation caused by weather modification activities executed in an area not subject to the jurisdiction of any nation. Well, at least for the criminal cabal that masquerades as our government, they were asking some important questions. Got to give them credit for that. Now, one final sample excerpt from the U.S. Senate document, Chapter 12, Economic Aspects of Weather Modification. Several weather modification processes have economic implications of great significance. Many sectors of agriculture, industry, and commerce may reap benefits or sustain losses as a result of shifts from historical weather trends. And again, this statement is made. The known effects on the target areas are almost uniformly adverse. Again, let all that sink in. From an almost 800-page long U.S. Senate document, these are only a few excerpts, but outlining the national and global weather modification operations that specifically addresses blanket legal immunity for anyone and everyone involved, that specifically addresses the global behind-the-doors cooperation, even between nations that have geopolitical conflict, which can even include war in the front yard while they're colluding and cooperating on climate engineering in the backyard behind closed doors. And there's that statement at the end, is, quote, the known effects of the target areas are almost uniformly adverse, end quote. And that's not even taking into account the complete contamination of the entire planet by climate intervention operations. With all that in mind, is it any wonder that the state of Tennessee is trying to ban geoengineering in their skies? From the Washington Post, why Tennessee lawmakers are pushing a bill to keep government from spraying the sky. From that report, in a Tennessee bill passed by the state Senate last week, lawmakers targeted geoengineering, an experimental and controversial practice not yet in use that could help cool the planet amid climate change. What proof do they have that it's not yet in use? Because they say so. Here's an excerpt from the Tennessee legislation. The intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight is prohibited. Go Tennessee. Geoengineeringwatch.org is supplying materials and input to participants in this all-important effort. From USA Today, Tennessee Senate vote didn't ban chemtrails, quote, bill advanced to the House committee. Fact check. USA Today was really grabbing at straws on that headline. Don't address the subject. Diverted. And certainly don't use the science terms. Use the term that was never used anywhere in the Tennessee legislation. From PolitiFact.com, with a name like that, they must be telling the truth, right? Not so much. They say, in a Tennessee bill passed by the state Senate last week, lawmakers targeted geoengineering, an experimental and controversial practice, they say, again, like the Post, not yet in use, that could help cool the planet. They say chemtrail is a misnomer for the streaks of white sometimes seen across the sky. They're actually aircraft condensation trails or contrails and contain no chemicals. Wait, consider all that from so-called PolitiFact.com. Question, should they actually be named PolitiFactless? .com. Without presenting a single fact, they claim to know that one, geoengineering is not yet going on, and two, quote, contrails contain no chemicals. Never mind that they aren't condensation trails in the first place, but in fact sprayed particulate dispersions as film footage and lab testing conclusively proves. Not just lab testing on the ground, lab testing at altitude with a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration flying lab procured by geoengineeringwatch.org and manned with top scientists taken to altitude. Heavy aircraft dispersions were sampled and processed at Rensselaer Polytechnic in New York, and we found exactly what we knew we'd find, starting with aluminum nanoparticles. You can see it all in the Dimming documentary. Homepage, geoengineeringwatch.org. Back to this new headline report from the start of this broadcast from enenews.com. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration gets dire warning about solar geoengineering. As I cover what this report states, consider that we weren't allowed to go out of our homes without the proper medical mandate on our face. But if you want to spray who knows what into our skies, no problem. From the E&E report, currently a U.S. company or citizen with plans to inject aerosols into the atmosphere is required to fill out a one-page form with the Commerce Department 10 days before they do it. The E&E report then states There's no governance on the international level, national governance. There's no state governance. There's nothing. Solar radiation modification has the potential to be a much, much bigger thing than weather modification ever was, in quote, right from the report, all of it. Yes, the so-called experts are now frightened, as they should be. They're going down on the same sinking ship as the rest of us, and they're finally beginning to face the fact that their silence won't save them. Then who does E&E blame? Geoengineering is happening, they say, from the Make Sunsets Corporation. Two bozos from Silicon Valley that put a couple balloons in the air and might have released a pound or two of material. And that's what they're saying is the only geoengineering occurring? Anybody who buys that, anybody who accepts that, is completely asleep at the wheel. Eyes wide open, look up, connect the dots. Here's a parallel report from Politico.com. Why this risky climate fix lacks red tape. They say blocking the sun's rays to limit global warming requires less paperwork than your income taxes. Just submit a one-page form to the U.S. government 10 days before you do it. And that's the only federal oversight for solar geoengineering. And also, this report acknowledges the risks are huge, from changing weather patterns to damaging the ozone layer, which is already done. A subheadline from this report: geoengineering faces a wave of backlash over regulatory gaps and unknown risks. They say technologies to slow global warming by manipulating the environment are rapidly advancing, but some experts want to pump the brakes. Really, they want to put on the brakes now that we've already crashed through the guardrail and are hurtling to the bottom of the canyon. Too late for that. From theweek.com, the hot controversy surrounding solar geoengineering. Solar geoengineering seeks to change the climate by blocking the sun with reflective materials. Some experts are wary of the solution's long-term effects on the planet, climate, and weather patterns. Because of this, there has been a lack of experimentation. Really? Look up. Or governance related to solar geoengineering. That part's true. There's no laws to regulate it. But with the atmospheric conditions rapidly worsening, cutting emissions alone may not be enough to curtail disaster. Yet again, like all other mainstream media articles and reports on climate engineering, not a single mention of the factor of climate engineering toxic fallout. From cleantechnica.com, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration calls for urgent geoengineering investigation. They say it's now abundantly clear that humans are incapable of reacting in any meaningful way to slow the pace of global heating. Despite all the warnings from scientists, the Pope, the Secretary General of the United States, IPCC, and the World Meteorological Society, all of them tentacles of the cancer, carbon and methane emissions continue to rise and Earth continues to get hotter. That's all true. Climate engineering making it worse, not better, trapping more heat than it's deflecting. They say we know by now the only solution is to dramatically reduce the use of carbon fuels. And yet, in Houston earlier this month, carbon fuel executives were whooping it up over the prospect of making hundreds of billions in future profits from sales of their products. The rampant ignorance of humans has convinced many authorities that geoengineering, while far from the ideal situation, may be the least worst strategy for keeping the Earth habitable for humans and millions of other species. A final statement in this report, quote, "Of course, we will need to rely on geoengineering because nothing else will save us from ourselves." Really? Geoengineering is going to save us from ourselves? How's that working out as we collectively careen down the side of the canyon toward our near-term demise, along with planetary omnicide? On that upbeat note, you're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the Bad News Broadcast, installment number 451, March 30th, 2024. This is Dane Wigington, your host. Global Alert News is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of climate intervention operations known as geoengineering. The commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour broadcast is being aired on numerous AM and FM stations throughout the country. Recordings of this broadcast can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column and on the Dane Wigington YouTube channel. Geoengineering Watch wishes to express our deepest gratitude to those that have helped us to expand our reach and thus our voice in this desperate last hour effort to sound the alarm. On that subject, if you're on our email list, please put us on your email contact book so that our mailouts don't go to the spam files. Please help us to share the groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, which fully exposes the climate engineering atrocities. Again, now over 10 million views. The best way to share is by circulating the direct link to The Dimming by email directly from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Sharing directly helps us to overcome social media censorship, and my deepest thanks to all of those who have helped us and have helped to achieve such a massive viewing of this very important documentary. that exposes climate engineering from top to bottom. When viewing our YouTube of the Dimming on Global Alert News or any other Geoengineering Watch video on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and comment, all of which helps us to circulate critically important data to a much wider audience. About reaching those that still aren't looking up, here's one way. By starting the conversation with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials, which can be found on our homepage, our only goal to provide activists what they need to move this fight forward as fast as possible. Extremely high-quality printed materials with shocking images. And we pass these on for less than our overall cost of producing and shipping. Our only goal, to get them into the hands of those who can put them to use. We now have Geoengineering Watch hoodies to go with our Geoengineering Watch shirts. Photos of each are on our home page. We have scannable business cards, bumper stickers, all effective tools to help strike up a conversation on the climate engineering issue. Again, reaching a critical mass of awareness on the climate engineering onslaught is the great imperative of our time. If we can expose it, we have a real chance of stopping it from the inside out. If you're willing to share a picture of yourself with a Geoengineering Watch shirt or hoodie, perhaps at a local market, gym, mall, whatever, somewhere busy, please send your photo to us so that we can post it as part of our activist compilation, which is now part of our materials page. The images encourage others to make their voices heard in this all-important battle to sound the alarm. And as always, again, to those who are steadfastly committed to this must-win fight for all that matters, my deepest gratitude to you. It's our collective efforts that can still make a difference, even at this late hour. Moving on. So, how's the weather? Short answer, wrong. Gulf of Mexico snowstorms continue, and there's no chance that any meteorologist that has a high enough IQ to walk and chew gum doesn't know this is going on. They certainly know. Snowstorms don't come out of the Gulf of Mexico, and they are pushed north, chemically nucleated all along the way, and as they spin counterclockwise around a manipulated low pressure zone on the backside, or the so-called cold side of the winter storm, as opposed to the warm side, some frozen material falls out of the sky, but don't eat it because it's toxic. We know, we're testing it. And why is it falling or beginning to fall at far above freezing temperatures, and the temperatures eventually cool down if the process continues long enough, but these processes dry up much of that moisture. So you see this widely scattered, very insignificant amount of frozen material that hits the surface, and it's extremely slick. Surfactant-soaked snow is that way. And surfactants are in the snow. Surfactants are what makes soap soap. It's used in the mix to keep the particles from coagulating together. All of it's in the patents. There's nothing normal about any of this. But we have the climate engineering cover-up actors pretending that it is. About the West Coast, unorganized, aerosolized, and very scattered moisture is manipulated into the western U.S. Again, radio frequencies transmissions as it comes on shore blows it apart into the widest possible, often featureless, rainless, cloud-covered sky. And this is nucleated, creates a cold, dense layer of air that hits the surface, and the weather and temperature whiplash scenarios continue to worsen, worse and worse, with each passing storm and season. And the frozen material in certain locations is coming down with extraordinary force and damage, destroying solar farms, literally destroying all the panels and solar farms, cars on car lots, houses, windows. This is chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Please search the Engineering Winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Please just learn about this issue. Look at the patents. And don't pretend that no one can manipulate the weather. It's historical fact. It's totally inarguable. It's occurring. Please look at data. Don't operate from ideology, preconception, or programming. Use data. Use your God-given sense of reason and eyesight. Connect the dots. Let's add this new report from UK Guardian. Extreme heat summit to urge leaders to act on threat from rising temperatures. And we know how they're acting, don't they? Climate engineering. That's their, quote, cure, a cure that's worse even than the disease they attempt to mitigate. Just like the pharmaceutical so-called cures we see on the TV every single day. Take this for that symptom, and by the way, here's the side effects, and you wonder who would possibly take that. But many do. From LifeScience.com, polar vortex is spinning backwards above the Arctic after major reversal event. That doesn't sound good, does it? What happens when you detonate nuclear bombs in the atmosphere and you use frequency transmissions to completely manipulate the atmosphere with unknown consequences? You saturate the atmosphere with oxidizing particles that destroy the ozone layer. Bad things happen. and what's coming will be worse. From this LiveScience.com report, earlier this month, a sudden atmospheric warming event caused the Arctic polar vortex to reverse its trajectory. The swirling ring of cold air is now spinning in the wrong direction, which has triggered a record-breaking ozone spike and could impact global weather patterns. What else is in this equation that's affecting all of this that no one in any mainstream source or any so-called elected official will admit to? From NBC News, melting polar ice is slowing the Earth's rotation with possible consequences for timekeeping. Oh, is that the worst of our problems? We might have to reset our watch. I think our problems are much bigger than that, aren't they? A new study found that ice loss caused by climate change is redistributing mass on the Earth enough to alter its spin. Moving on from earthsky.org, can supervolcanoes cause a major cooling? They say a new study challenges the notion that volcanic super eruptions would lead to significant global cooling. Supervolcanoes add particles to the atmosphere that can both block sunlight to cool and trap outgoing heat energy to warm the planet. This study may mean we're a long way from artificially adding particles to our atmosphere to geoengineering a solution to global warming. Bottom line, it was long thought that supervolcanoes could cause eruptions that could blot out sunlight and result in major cooling on Earth. A new study says not so fast. That's exactly right. And other studies make clear that such eruptions cause short-term toxic cooling that's followed by protracted and even worsened warming. The entire premise for so-called solar radiation management is completely flawed. But anyone who's got their eyes open and understands the cancer that's controlling the world is this is not a benevolent act in the first place. It's what Lyndon Johnson stated 62 years ago, quote, "He who controls the weather controls the world," and that's what it's about, and they don't care about the consequences. They never have, not even to themselves. And I'm very tired of hearing people excuse this all away because, quote, they wouldn't do this to themselves. They already have, again and again and again. We are not dealing with sanity. New from MSN.com, the engine that drives our oceans is slowing, and that could end life on Earth as we know it. That doesn't sound good, does it? The report is referring to the AMOC current, the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. And although many reports still try to claim that it could, may, might happen by 2100, the most recent data, and I covered some of that in last week's broadcast, says, oh, oops, we made a mistake. It could happen by 2025, next year. Think about that, because everything from the so-called climate science community so far is an oh my god, oops moment. It's way, way worse than we thought, exactly as geoengineeringwatch.org has said, exactly as I have said on the record for a decade and a half. It's not as bad as we're being told, it's exponentially worse. And climate engineering is further fueling that fire, pushing us from the firing pan into the fire, as the proverb goes. UK Guardian, Gulfstream could collapse as early as 2025, as I just mentioned. Space.com, ocean current system could shut down as early as 2025. Newsweek, Atlantic ocean current could collapse as early as 2025. NewScientist.com, vital Atlantic ocean current could collapse as soon as 2025. Well, that's a bit sooner than 2100, isn't it? From the GlobalSeafoodAlliance.org, an update on a dire unfolding scenario that's global in scope and scale. Hypoxia is widespread in the ocean and increasing off the U.S. Pacific coast. Widespread increase in coastal Pacific Northwest hypoxia threatens marine life, scientists say. Threatens? If they have nothing to breathe, yes, they will die. It's not a could, may, might situation. Covered part of this last week. This is an ongoing story, and we are hurtling toward Canfield Ocean. Please look that one up. A superheated, lifeless, oxygenless, stratified, dead zone. Oceans die, we die. Simple. In regard to Earth's ocean, as there is only one, it's all connected. You can name each part whatever you want. There's one global ocean and the rapid heating of it. We need to look to the polar regions. That's the air conditioner of the planet, and it's completely imploding. And for those who continue to claim that we're entering an ice age, not this planet. And the bottom line is climate engineering, again, making an already horrific situation far worse, not better. No rational person can deny we have trashed this planet in the geologic blink of an eye. If you deny that, you're not connected to reality. The signs are absolutely everywhere. Loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute until nothing is left. That's the creed of too many in the human race. And about the polar regions, the formerly reflective ice blocked 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy. The dark seawater absorbs 90%, As that scale tilts, it tilts faster and faster until we have what's known as a BOE, a blue ocean event, and we may be hurtling toward a double BOE, both poles becoming iceless in the summer season, and that is an absolute catastrophe. And no, it's not great. You can bring your beach sandals to the polar regions. That's not how it works. The Earth hasn't changed at this speed ever. Nothing can adapt at this speed, and the now massive methane deposits on seafloors will thaw, release, blow into the atmosphere, and we're done. Again, climate engineering, in the attempt to hide it and to use weather as a weapon, may have pounded the final nails into our collective coffins. We can't know. We can't know until we bring it to light and to a halt and allow the planet to respond on its own to the damage done. Only then can we truly assess where we're at. But currently, the poles are imploding. From SciTechDaily.com, Arctic sea ice's alarming retreat continues in 2024. Arctic sea ice coverage in 2024 decreased to 6 million square miles, continuing a 46-year trend of shrinkage and thinning. That's like the 555 months in a row of above normal global temperatures. Ice age? Really? I don't like Al Gore. I don't like any of the environmental groups. They're all hypocrites. But just because people make money off things doesn't mean it's not true. People make money off both sides of war. Does that mean wars didn't happen and people didn't die? It doesn't mean that. We need to exercise our sense of reason and not have it diverted, not by so-called spiritual leaders that are hiding behind their pulpits and pretending they don't have any part in this mass destruction of the planet because their savior is going to take care of it all. I'm not faulting these doctrines, but are these pastors following them? No, they're hiding behind their pulpits, and I know this firsthand because I've confronted them. First thing out of their mouths from so many major spiritual institutions, we don't need to worry about it, it's all in big hands. Show me in your doctrine where it says you can do that. Or for the congregation to sit in a pulpit and warm it with their backside while all this is going on. All this has to change. But what I'm citing now, what I cite in this broadcast, is the most immediate threats we collectively face, and the melting of the polar regions is among them, climate engineering making it worse, not better. So we're hurtling toward record low surface area in the Arctic and the Antarctic, but here's the more important factor, the volume, the mass in both poles, all-time record low by far. How does that happen? How can you lose so much mass and not lose as much surface area? Because now they're calling sea ice, any area of ocean that's 15% slush or more, and that can be chemically nucleated, sea surface nucleated slush. Now they're calling that ice pack. Isn't that still 85% ocean? Total lies across the board on every front to mask the totality and severity of what's coming and the immediacy of what's coming until the last possible moment, to feed normalcy bias, to keep everybody asleep at the wheel until the moment of impact, and that's exactly what's going on. If the currently frozen methane tundra and seafloor deposits in the polar regions thaws and enters the atmosphere, we're done. Game over. Climate engineering making it far worse, not better. I'm almost out of time for this broadcast, but let's wrap up with this. 25 years later, we're all trapped in the Matrix. The 1999 sci-fi classic predicted a world like the one we now live in, where human beings are cut off from one another by technology. But it also reminded us that resistance is possible. Question, is it helpful for the cause of exposing and halting climate engineering to share anything you find from anyone that has anything to say about the climate engineering issue, regardless of how off-base, incorrect, overall harmful to the cause such a source may be? Obviously not. Propagating unvetted information doesn't help the cause of credibly exposing and halting climate engineering. It only harms it. A man named Morpheus sits across from another man named Neo and informs him that his entire notion of reality is a lie. If Neo wishes to know the truth of human existence, Morpheus says, all he has to do is choose one of two pills. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. The scene is the turning point in the Matrix. Only our collective efforts can yet make a difference at this late hour. Each and every individual that's already awake and aware is desperately needed in the front lines of this fight. Reaching a critical mass of awareness in the population is the only way forward. And as I've stated before, awareness doesn't just mean knowing that the train is completely off the tracks. It means a deeper understanding, one that is willing to face the fact that if we don't stop the ship from sinking, aka planet Earth, all of our days are numbered. All other causes and concerns then become moot. And at this most critical crossroad, what's taking place in our skies is the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat. They're not just ripping apart the planet's remaining life support systems, they are contaminating every breath we take. If that isn't a real and pressing fight for life, what is? Are enough willing to take the red pill in time to make a difference? Only one way to find out. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward. Every single day counts in this battle. Please, make your voice heard while it can still make a difference. We must all fully face the gathering storm head on. It's now or never. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.